It's 7 o'clock on your local public radio, and that means, of course, it's time for Minds Over Matter, the Bay Area's favorite quiz show. So, without further ado, I bring you the man who fell to earth out of the back of a 1964 Volkswagen bus, Dana Rodriguez.
All right. Thanks for building up my ego like that. Welcome to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a lovely weekend and a great Pride Day. So if you have an hour to spare tonight, please spare it with us because we are an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation out there. Feel free to give us a call at area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, and just about everything else. Again, if you'd like to join in, now's the time to do it. Sometimes it does get a little bit crowded toward the end of the show, but we'll get you on as soon as possible if you call now. So give us a call, 415-841-4134, 415-841-4134. I do want to remind you of our email address, which is, unsurprisingly, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Yes, please turn off your cell phones so I can emote from the stage. Thank you. mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Oh, boy. Cell phones are a curse on modern civilization, I think. And if you would like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, simply by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you like a podcast of this show, we pray to the gods every week that it will appear. That should be there at kalw.org. So, that being said, we're going to start with a round of introductions. And here's the first. Lori Fisher has decided to temporarily abandon the Swooning Giants in order to become the first member of the Minds Over Matter fan club in China, where he hopes to recruit just 1% of the population, about 1.3 million new listeners. Isn't that what we have here?
It'll equal our current audience.
Okay, there we go.
Steve Rubenstein figures he can beat the 4th of July traffic if he leaves right after tonight's broadcast. I don't think so.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, was at the Pride Parade today, and after seeing a collection of beads, wigs, costume, jewelry, and tottering high heels, not all of them worn by Mr. Rodriguez, he figured it was like a massive tryout for the Real Housewives of San Francisco.
All right. So that is us. We began the questioning with Lori Fisher.
I'm in that Jerry Nachman chair.
I know. So it threw me off.
Pressure, yeah. So I'm happy there's a musician in the studio who will meet in a few minutes.
The bar is set pretty low, so don't worry about it.
Well, not for the musician. I have some music questions. So in August, I think people know it'll be the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' last announced concert, the concert that closed down Candlestick Park, and Paul McCartney's coming back to play that concert. So I have a couple Beatles questions. In that show, the last Beatles public show, the announced show, they only played two songs that they did not write. Like to know, they opened the show with one of them and they closed the show with one of them. So these are every other song they performed, they wrote. So I'm interested in that. Then I was looking at the list of Beatles songs, and I'll make this easy. I looked at the alphabetical list. What's the title of the first song and the last song that they wrote, not that they necessarily recorded?
You mean they wrote for Lennon the show?
Oh, no. These are just ever in their
starting
careers.
With an A.
Starting with
All My Lovin'? Is that one?
It's before that in the alphabet.
Before All My Lovin'.
Yeah. So I'm looking for the one closest to A, well, alphabetical, and closest to Z. Good guess on All My Lovin'.
Yesterday for the Y?
No, after that. But we're narrowing in on
it. Oh, boy.
So
I'm 0 for 2. I'm going to shut up.
Keep
now.
In there. You'll get it.
That'll be the day.
We'll get it. Have one before All Your My Lovin' and after yesterday, and I'm double-checking.
Yeah. All right. Repeat all the questions.
Okay. So I'm looking for at the last show that the Beatles performed, the announced show, because they performed one more at Apple Studio, they performed 11 songs, I think, and two that they didn't write. One that opened the show, what closed the show. They're both well-known songs. And then if you alphabetized all the songs they wrote, what would be first on the list and what would be last?
All right. Is the one of the non-Beatles songs by Chuck Berry?
Yes.
Trying to Be Good?
No.
No, it's rock and roll music?
Yeah, that's okay. How they opened the show. Very good.
All right,
so we're looking for how they closed the show.
I'm 0 for 3 already.
That's
the show is
list.
4 minutes old, and I'm 0 for 3.
You're showing off for your kid.
Don't run yourself down because we haven't even gotten it yet. All right, why don't you go ahead, Steve?
All right. I bought this stuff, so I'm going to ask a question about
it. You bought your question.
This jar of brown granules was first manufactured in 1895 by C.W. Post. It was discontinued in 2007 to great anguish among the true believers, and now it's newly back in production under a license to a private label. I bought a jar of it. Cost me $18 day before yesterday.
Post them.
Ring the bell.
Is that it?
That is.
Good job.
That's and for the people who don't know, is that a like a Sanka? Is that what it is?
It's not. No coffee bean has ever touched this stuff. It's ground up wheat with some molasses in it.
And why would anybody consume it?
I have no idea. Well, I bought it for a friend. I did buy it, but I bought it for a true believing friend.
So it went out of business, and now it's
did. It's got wheat and molasses.
You went to the
black market. You tell me.
Yeah. Nobody but Steve's friend wanted it. So
it's
what's
the
next?
Jar.
What's the next one? Next, give me another question.
I'll defer to your superior knowledge.
Okay, it's about time.
Superior question too.
And all right. According to the Library Association of the United States, what is the most stolen library book? It is a nonfiction book. What is the most stolen?
Is it a reference book?
Library book. Could be.
I was going to say
could that. Be. Could that be. Is that the best I get out of you?
Well, what do you want?
I was going to say.
Want me to give you the answer?
No.
All right.
Reference book
well,
could be.
The most
could
ironic
be.
Choice would be the Bible.
It's not that ironic. Not that ironic, no.
And you said nonfiction, right?
Yeah, it is nonfiction.
I have one coming.
What is the most stolen library book in the United States? And it has been for a few years.
Is it the same book?
Yeah.
They keep returning
Not just
it.
One copy.
No, just, not okay. just the one copy.
All right. Well, so that means there's many copies.
There are many copies of it.
How about the dictionary?
No. No. Steve?
I'm flummoxed.
You're on a streak.
I'm 0 for 4. I'm
0
for 4. I haven't gotten one right yet.
No.
Is it something people couldn't get online? And is that one of the reasons they
I don't think
it?
So. I mean, you could certainly at least access it in some way online, I would think.
It's a good question.
What is the most stolen library book in the United States?
Almanac?
Not the almanac, no.
And it's a specific book, not a kind of book, like I'm guessing, like a dictionary.
It's a specific book, yeah.
A specific title by a specific author.
Yeah.
Oh, this would be ironic.
All right, go ahead.
Steal This Book by Abby Hoffman.
No. That's what everybody would...
Well, I'm everybody. All right.
Right. Yeah.
All right, once more. What is the most stolen library book in the United States? All right, I'll give you one more question. I like this question a lot. I just came across this the other day, and it's such a weird question. Who was the only winner of the Best Actor Academy Award to play the same role in a TV sitcom?
Whoa.
Who was the only winner of the Best Actor Academy Award to play the same role that he won the Best Actor Oscar for in a TV sitcom?
And it was a comedy role in the movies, too.
It was not necessarily. It wasn't really. It was a comedy role in the movie. No.
But in the sitcom.
There were a few elements of comedy in it, but it wasn't really a comedy role.
But the sitcom
the
was
sitcom
a
was
The sitcom
a,
was
a,
com. Yeah, that was a comedy. Yeah, sitcom, yes.
The movie before World War II?
No, it was not.
Will everybody in this room have seen that show, do you think?
The TV show?
Yeah.
No. The movie? Probably.
Best
no.
Actor.
Whoa, the TV question. Show was not on very long. I think it was just a season. So once more, who is the only Best Actor, winner of the Best Actor Academy Award, to play the same role in a TV sitcom? Although what he won the Oscar for was not really
a
comedy.
A time period question. For the
Let's
best,
have a hint.
Yeah, the Best Actor decade or...
It was after World War II.
Well, if it's going to be on TV, that's not a huge help.
After World War II.
We already established that through my probing question.
Yeah.
After World War II.
Well, that's all you're going to get
How about
out of
the
me 50s? For the moment.
Was it in the 50s?
Could be.
Could be.
So
Thanks.
Brando never...
Could be in the 60s.
Brando
too, yeah.
never went to TV.
No,
okay.
no. On the waterfront.
Yeah.
He and his crazy family.
Yeah, could have been the contender.
All right. Anybody got a guess?
That's a great question. I'll think about it.
No.
Okay. So once more, what is the most stolen library book in the United States, according to the American Library Association? And who was the only winner of the Best Actor Academy Award to play the same role in a TV sitcom? Although what the role he won the Best Actor Oscar for, it was not a comedy necessarily.
I'd like to point out that I haven't gotten an answer wrong for 6 minutes.
It's your record.
Well, don't dwell on it.
Because I haven't answered it.
Right. We'll find something easy.
We don't want you to disturb your record.
All right. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Oh, good evening. I actually used to drink postum, and I believe that it was supposed to be a health beverage.
Oh,
yeah.
It had all of the extracts that weren't used for other commercial cereal, and it had the wheat germ and the bran and the molasses.
It must have been healthy because you're still around.
Yeah.
I'm still around.
Are you healthy?
Yeah, so I actually used to drink it. My question is, I have a couple of words or phrases that I want to know if you guys know what they mean. The first one would be, or where it's derived from, harum scarum, roly-poly, willy-nilly, and humdrum.
Well, is roly-poly derived from the bug?
I don't know. I'm asking you.
Oh, you're asking us.
I don't know. If you don't know, we can put it out there.
So we can make them up.
Well, you can make it up.
Yeah.
Okay, it's from the bug. I'm saying it's from the bug. No, I have no idea.
I don't know.
And as far as you know, they're all from different sources. They're not from one place, right?
Different sources, different decades, different cultures.
Okay, well, give us the list once more, please.
Harum scarum.
Mm-hmm.
Willy-nilly.
Right.
Roly-poly. And humdrum.
Wow.
They all rhyme.
All right. Well, I think the best we can do at the moment is to leave them out there for people and then have them call in.
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Garrett from Union City.
Hello.
I think I know who the best actor is.
Okay.
Is it Yul Brynner?
It is Yul Brynner, yes.
It was Anna and the King, which only ran for 4 months in 1972.
Yep.
Wow.
You killed the best question I had tonight.
Yeah. He didn't kill it. He got it right.
Yes, Yul Brynner and King and I.
Yeah, I got a slight correction to make.
All right.
Lori said it was the 50th anniversary of the Beatles' final concert. It was the 48th.
Oh, it wasn't 1964?
It was 64, but their last concert was at Scantic Park in 1966.
Oh, okay. All right. That's very good.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Questions.
Who let you on? All right, go ahead.
Me.
Groucho Marx once appeared in an episode of I, Dream, and Genie. Can you name which one of the series supporting cast appeared in their very first feature film, The Coconuts?
Oh, supporting cast. So,
yeah.
But it wasn't a regular on the show.
Yeah, it was a regular on the show. He's on the show for the first four seasons.
York? Who?
Which show?
So Groucho Marx appeared as a guest on I, Dream, of Genie, and I've never seen this one. But a member of the supporting cast in I Dream of Genie was in their first movie, The Coconuts.
I don't even know the main cast, except for Dick York.
No, not Dick York. This is I Dream of Genie, so it's Larry Hagman.
Barb Eden, of course. The great Barb.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Larry Hagman.
Okay,
right.
So anyway, So you want to know who was on that show, who's a regular on that show, who was in their first...
There was a next-door neighbor, right?
Oh.
No.
Barton McLean?
Yes, he plays a lifeguard.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Really?
Where did that come from?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's in the very first scene of the film. He gets his scene in from black shorts and striped shirt.
That's why I'm fabulously wealthy.
Here's my second question.
Yes.
What U.S. president announced the World War II film, Battle of the Bulge? What former president, that is?
I'm sorry, what former president? Say it again, please.
What former U.S. president announced the... feature film Battle of the Bulge.
Denounced
it. Oh, I thought you said
so
announced it.
This person was a former president at the time?
Yeah.
Eisenhower?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
All right. You're back.
Right.
Very nice.
Back in business.
Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
I figure he knows something about World War II, don't you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't like Henry Fonda.
Reasonable guess, yeah.
And if you'd like to join us, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is teacher at Dabble Valley College, Lori Fisher, reporter and writer and teacher Steve Rubenstein, his daughter Anna, who goes to Oberlin College, and I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And again, that number is 415-841-4134, and you're listening to KALW, that's 91.7 FM, your local public radio station. And Lori, it's your turn.
All right, well, I'm going to continue with the Beatles questions, because I know you like them so much, Dana.
Yes.
And the kids love the Beatles questions. So, again, looking at the list of songs they wrote, the kids, the listeners.
Anybody around 50?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
So of the songs, of their titles of their songs, which is the longest title and which is the shortest? So if you lined them all up.
The longest.
The longest, and I'm counting by letters. How's that? Instead of by words.
Oh.
It doesn't make much of a difference, but just in case you want to think of one-word titles that would be the shortest, and then more than one-word titles that would be the longest.
Okay. Say it once more.
Okay, so I'm looking in the list of the list of Beatles songs, which would be the longest title and which would be the shortest.
Okay.
If you looked at their entire oeuvre of work.
Would you say...
Help?
Help is the shortest. Oh, tied with three others. Very good. You're,
okay,
on
you're coming
now.
Back from near
there's,
death.
There's three other four-letter songs.
I don't
let's
have
see
to
if
know
we can
those.
Get them all. Yeah.
I got a bell
That's
already.
True. You can rest on all your
right.
laurels.
All right. Okay. Can you give us an idea how long the longest one is?
Mm-hmm. It's 11 words and 51 letters. That's long. Huh. It almost has a subtitle to it. But I looked, and that's the official title.
Okay.
Our listeners will help out on this one.
And
these are songs they wrote, because I'm looking at Anna. They had a song named Anna, but they didn't write it. So I'm sure you both know that.
And, yes. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hi, I have some names of characters in movies.
Okay.
I just need the name of the movie.
All right.
Okay, Waldo Lidecker.
That's Clifton Webb and Laura.
Yeah.
Okay. Jordan Baker.
Well, that's Great Gatsby.
Right. Yeah. Oh, very good.
Tony Wendez.
Tony Wendez.
Oh, I know that.
That's familiar.
I know this. Is that a Hitchcock film? Yes. It's Dial M for Murder. It's Ray Milland.
Oh, very good.
Rinaldi.
Ooh. Just Rinaldi.
Yeah, just Rinaldi.
Supporting. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's
Rinaldi.
Not Little Caesar, is it?
No.
Give us a hint.
The main characters were... Oh, I can't think of anything. That wouldn't give it away.
What was the year?
There was two of them. This might give it away. The first one was played by Adolf Mangio.
Oh, Rinaldi is the character, the Dr. Rinaldi in Farewell to Arms.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Yes. And the last one is Frank Chambers.
Oh, boy.
Frank Chambers.
Is that Henry Fonda?
No.
No?
No. You're thinking of Frank James.
Maybe, no. Frank Chambers.
Frank Chambers.
The main character. One of the main characters.
Frank Chambers. Now...
Give us a hint on Frank Chambers.
It's too generic.
Let's see. Well, he went to a gas chamber.
Oh. Wow. Frank Chambers.
Wow.
Huh.
So it's not...
But it's not a real person?
No.
Okay. No, I don't know.
Postman always rings twice.
Oh, okay.
Oh, John
Garfield.
All right. Right,
yeah.
Good.
And Jack Nicholson later on.
Yeah.
They both went to the guest chamber.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I have a guess on those willy-nilly.
Yes, go ahead.
I think that means somebody can't make up their mind.
Yeah.
Could be.
But she wants to know where
she
it comes from.
She wants to know where it comes from.
Oh, where it comes from.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, thank you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
it. Bye.
Waldo Lidecker is a great, is a great name.
Yeah. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi, this is Linda in El Cerrito.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. I have a guess on the most stolen book.
Yes.
How about the Kinsey Report?
It's not the Kinsey Report, no.
Okay.
No.
Well, whatever.
Used
all
to
right.
Be.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you to identify an iconic American figure from the business world, I guess you would say. Very well known still. He died in the 20th century. And I'll give you a series of facts, and if you want to stop me at any time and give a guess, just go ahead and do that.
All right. Don't depend on that, but go ahead.
All right. First one, he was born in Indiana. His father died when he was about 5 years old. He had to care for his younger siblings while his mother worked, so it was pretty grim. He learned to cook when he was about 7 years old, part of his child care responsibilities. He served briefly in the military by lying about his age. He was 15, and he said he was 16, and he was sent to Cuba.
You mean as part of the military?
He was in the military very briefly, but they threw him out because he was underage.
Okay.
So when did the military go to Cuba?
So it was Spanish-American War.
And you're not telling us the year he was born?
No, I wasn't telling you.
Okay, go ahead.
And he shot a man in a business dispute. The man didn't die, but he did shoot him.
Not in Reno, though.
Just to see him die, no.
No.
And he achieved success late in life.
Late in life.
Late in life. That's about
it. That's it, huh? Nothing about how he made his... Is he a robber baron type?
No.
Okay.
Is he a food manufacturer?
He has to do with food.
Heinz?
No.
C.W. Post.
C.W. Post.
Looping us back to the post.
No.
Indiana. It has to do with food. And he was a cook.
He learned to cook when he was just a child.
Is his name associated with a particular food product?
Yes.
Oh. Is it on the food product?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay.
Is he Mr. Stouffer?
No.
Or Mrs. Stouffer?
It's on the food product. Is it a single food product or multiple?
It's basically one product.
It's not... Can't be Betty Crocker because she doesn't exist.
No,
or Uncle Ben.
I don't think she ever shot a man. Not that I know of.
And she has many products. Chef Boyardee.
Indiana.
Not him.
And this is sold in a grocery store.
No, I didn't say that.
Can you still buy it?
Wait.
Yes, you can very much still buy it.
But not in a grocery store.
Not in a grocery store.
Not in a grocery store, no.
Oh.
What kind of store would we buy it?
Colonel Sanders?
I'll have to let you figure that out.
Colonel Sanders.
That's it.
Very nice.
Oh.
All right. Excellent.
You're on a big one.
Thank you.
Okay,
yeah.
Just a couple of other little facts you might find interesting or questions. And how is Kentucky Fried Chicken actually cooked?
Seems like a
by
trick 14 question.
Year old. Sometimes, by a 7-year-old, I guess.
Sometimes it's better not to know these things.
Well, do you have a guess?
How is it cooked? I mean, in what is it cooked?
What method do they use for cooking?
So presumably
deep fried, I believe.
I thought it was deep fried. No.
Yeah.
No, it's not deep fried.
Oh, pressure cooker? Oh. I don't know.
Pressure cooker. Pressure cooker. Right.
Give me another bell.
Did you give him a bell for saying
pretty slow on the bells.
That was his giant breakthrough. The pressure cookers were invented by 1939, and he figured out a way to serve chicken by cooking them. I think he had to kind of tweak the pressure cooker a bit.
Of course. This was a great man, and you know why he was a great man? Because I got two questions right on the same
All right, that does make it. So it took about 9 minutes to cook the chicken that way, as opposed to taking however long it would actually take if he fried it. So that was a great breakthrough. And he had his first franchise in Utah in 1952.
Interesting.
So he was born in Indiana, went to Utah, and the thing is called Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Right. He actually, I thought I would really throw you off.
Everybody's in show business.
Yeah.
Because he did move to Kentucky, and he started his working life in Kentucky, but he was lived in Indiana as a child.
All right. Thanks, Linda.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. And all right. Up to you, Steve.
All right. Well, we love movies around here, and we love this very subtle instrument that my daughter Anna is carrying. It's called a trombone. I've got six movie-related music questions. Anna will play the song. I will ask you a question about the song. You will recognize all of these songs, so the question will not be to name the song. Anna will play the first song, and I will ask the question about it.
So in the afterwards.
After Anna plays the song. Go ahead. Name the man who said this song slowed down the picture and nearly ordered it left on the cutting room floor. I know you know the answer.
Well, should I not say it then?
Yeah, you should not say it.
Louis B. Mayer.
Let me say it. How about Louis B. Mayer?
Louis B. Mayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Amazing. Almost threw it out of the picture.
Oh, yeah. Arthur Freed argued for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
What a legacy.
Here's our
That's
second
good question.
Name the actress who sang this song to two brothers in a 1989 movie.
You know that one too, huh?
No, you're not supposed to.
Well, I'm the moderator. I can do whatever I want.
Well, be moderate.
No, all right, we'll leave it on.
All right.
Okay.
She all sang right. It to Name the actress brothers. Who sang that song to two brothers in the 1989 movie. Okay, the third one. All right, now everyone knows who wrote the music. Name the lyricist on that song. The lyricist.
That's DuBose Hayward.
Yes. Give yourself a bell. DuBose Hayward, okay? Right, here's number four. All right, name the Marx Brothers movie, the Hitchcock movie, and the Woody Allen movie that featured this number one song from 1927. Then we're looking for three movie titles, the Marx Brothers movie, the Hitchcock movie, and the Woody Allen movie. This song was prominently featured in all three of those
pictures. I think the Hitchcock movie is Strangers on a Train.
Correct.
It's played on the merry-go-round.
The merry-go-round and climactic scene at the carnival. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. We're looking for the Marx Brothers movie still and the Woody Allen movie in which that song was featured.
Is it played again, Sam?
No, it is not played again, Sam.
Is it?
And I'll give you a hint. It was played twice. In the Woody Allen picture. Yeah.
The one set in the future.
Oh, Bananas?
Yeah. Not Bananas. No, the one he wakes up in the...
Sleeper.
No, it's not Bananas. It's not Sleeper.
Okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. I'll get one more guess. Take the money and run.
You're 0 for 4, gentlemen.
All right. We'll catch it up with
here's
you.
Number, all right.
And we didn't guess the Marx
song.
Brothers movie at all.
And no, we didn't. Name the two actors who sang this tune in the 1980 movie about an overly generous billionaire.
The Marx Brothers movie in the last tune is, ain't she sweet, is Duck Soup.
Yes, it is.
When Harpo has his affair with the Edgar Kennedy's wife, and comes
you don't get extra points for knowing the scene.
All right.
Well done.
Okay, yeah.
So we're looking on Bye Bye Blackbird. We're looking for the two actors who sang that tune in the 1980 film.
All right.
All right, and the last musical question is a song you may recognize, Dana.
Okay. Nicely done.
Name the two cafes in which Sam played that song. The two cafes.
Rick's is one, right?
I figured you'd know that.
Rick's American Cafe and then,
No, it's not Rick's American Cafe.
Rick's. Oh. It's just Rick's, right?
Just Rick's.
Rick's Cafe American.
Something Paris.
This movie
the
was
other
set
one is,
in Casablanca.
The
Green Parrot?
Cafe Aurore in Paris.
No, yes. It's not La Cafe Aurore.
Isn't it the Sydney Greenstreet Parrot, the something Parrot?
Play it in the Sydney Greenstreet. He was the competition.
No. The one where Ingrid Bergman in Paris.
You have
Ingrid
the name
Bergman
of the cafe incorrect.
It's Aurore. It's Aurore.
You have the name of the cafe incorrect.
Incorrect.
A movie question about the most famous movie of all time, and Dana Rodriguez has the answer incorrect.
Is he close?
What'd you say?
La Belle Aurore.
Give yourself a bell.
All right, there we go.
Give yourself a Belle Aurore.
And the Germans wore gray, you wore blue.
And great playing, by the way. Tremendous.
Thank
seriously.
You.
That was nice. Really, thank
I
you, Anna.
So. All right.
The important thing is she doesn't sound like me.
So we're still missing a couple, right?
We are. We're still looking for the... Ain't She Sweet?
No,
we're looking for
the
Woody Allen movie, in which that movie,
Bye Bye Blackbird
featured, and Bye Bye Blackbird was played in a 1980 film, sung by these two actors in a 1980 film about an overly generous billionaire.
All right, and let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matters.
Hi, that must be me.
Hi, you're on.
Oh, yeah, this is Joanne from Palo Alto. I've got some Beatles things here.
Great.
Okay.
In the alphabetization, are you counting single letters like A?
No.
Okay, because then it would be a day in the life.
It would be. And I probably should, so that would be. Well, if I didn't count A, what would it be?
All I've got to do?
No, it's before that in the alphabet. It's like all my loving, close.
It would come before all my loving.
It would.
Okay. And at the end, you've got to hide your love away?
That's it. Very good. No. All right. So that's after yesterday. So very good. So we're still looking for the closest to the A in the alphabet. Very nice.
And
act natural.
Close, though. And he didn't write that,
of course.
Sorry, go ahead.
No. Oh, the last concert?
Yes.
And a couple of guesses for the song they didn't write, the other one.
Yeah.
Would it be Twist and Shout?
No. They didn't sing that to end the show. What else?
How about Ringo singing Boys?
No, they didn't do that in the show.
Till They're With You?
No, the great Meredith Wilson song. They didn't sing that in the show, surprisingly.
I didn't think they'd bother with the ballad. But,
yeah.
Okay.
Those are great guesses, and they recorded all of them, but they didn't sing at Candlestick. They didn't sing it.
Right. Do you know they recorded Ain't She Sweet?
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
They did.
With Tony Sheridan.
And that would be very close to the top of the alphabet, but they didn't write it.
But they didn't write it. Because my uncle wrote it. They did.
Is that true?
It is true.
Oh.
I got one more. I was a librarian in the 70s, and people used to steal The Joy of Sex.
Oh
no, it's not The Joy of Sex.
Masters and Johnson?
No.
Joy of Cooking?
No. No joy anywhere in the title.
No joy of sex.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, so this being Gay Pride Day, I'll ask a gay-related question.
Gay Pride question.
Is sort of. These are characters. I'm going to name you five actors who played characters who were gay in a novel or a play, but in the movie version, they were made straight. So I'm
the characters.
The characters.
The
yes. Yes. Yeah. I can't speak for the actors.
So in the books, they're gay, but in the
films, the book or in the novel or the play, the character is gay. In the movies, they sanitized it and made them straight. So here we go. I'll give you five actors who played straight role in an originally gay role. So number one, Ray Milland. Number two, Honor Blackman.
Oh, Goldfinger.
Yeah. Well, let me go through the list first.
That's very good, yeah.
Number three, George Peppard. Number four, Paul Newman. Number five, Mary Stuart Masterson.
All right, Honor Blackman was Pussy Galore in Goldfinger.
Right, yeah. Right. Originally in the novel, I understand she's the leader of the lesbian jewel thieves or something like that, like a gang.
It's Pilots, wasn't it?
Was it Pilots? I'm not sure.
Is George Peppard Breakfast at Tiffany's?
It is Breakfast at Tiffany's.
I thought so.
Paul Varjak.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
He was gay in the boyfriend.
Truman
Capote's novella.
Yeah.
Right. Is it Ray Millard Rope?
No, not Rope.
Great
same
guess.
Around the same era though.
Okay.
So once more, so we still have Ray Milland, Paul Newman, and Mary Stuart Masterson. And so they all played roles that were originally gay in the novel or play, and when made into a movie, they were straight.
Dial M for Murder?
No, not Dial M for Murder. That was Tony Wendez.
Maybe he was returning to the scene of the crime. So, and Paul Newman. That's interesting.
And?
It's A Cat on a Hot Tin Roof?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes. It is.
Wonderful.
Brick Pollitt.
Yeah.
There you go.
Right.
Rick.
Good job.
Mary Stuart Masterson, I know that one, too.
I think you would. I think you would know it, too. All right. You've eaten away most of that question, so I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Barbie's full name is Barbie Millicent Roberts. What state is she supposedly from? You know, there's a backstory that they gave you about Barbie and all that stuff. Barbie's full name, the Barbie doll, is Barbie Millicent Roberts. What state is she supposedly from?
Well, she sounds like she's from Connecticut. How's that?
No.
Rhode Island.
No. Sounds what are you like, basing that on?
She sounds like a
Providence.
She
Rhode
sounds
Island.
Like
Providence.
She sounds like a blue blood.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
no.
She kind of looks that way, too. Do you know?
I don't know.
She's like saying Rhode Island.
Rhode Island. All right.
It's famous for you.
Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Sid. How are you?
Good.
So until recently, whenever you bought a brand new Mercedes, which I did three times in the good old days, you had a business card signed by this man right in the front windshield.
I've seen those.
Lower right.
I've seen those.
Who's he?
Who signed the Mercedes? Your Mercedes Benz?
Well, all of the anybody who bought Mercedes.
I've seen. My mother has one, and I recall seeing that. I didn't really pay much attention to it.
Not Mr. Benz, huh?
Huh?
Not Mr.
Daimler?
Benz?
Oh. It is the Mir Benz.
It is, Mr.
It is.
There you go.
So, okay. Very good.
All right.
Okay, so what is Mercedes? I told you about Mercedes some months ago.
Mercedes was the daughter.
Oh, yeah, who's she?
Mercedes
who's she?
Was the daughter's name. Not
Benz's name. Not
Benz's daughter. Of Daimler's daughters.
Say it again?
I think it was Daimler's daughter's name.
No, she was not.
It was somebody's daughter, I know that.
No, she was. She actually, I'll give you the answer. She was the daughter of the Hungarian importer. I forget his name, but you can get it. Because her father imported more Mercedes than anybody else. And actually, most of the import of Mercedes were done to France. That is, so Mercedes is the daughter of that import.
Okay.
Second question.
And none of them are still running.
That's why he had three.
Well, tell you what, I lost two by divorce. I have the oldest one, so it's okay. As well as some BMW as well. But, for 5,000 years ago, the ancient Egyptian actually designed the calendar until today, 365 days and one quarter. So they did that by observing the rise of the Nile, which coincide with the rise and the fall of the star. Which star is it?
The rise of
Omar Sharif.
No.
Omar Sharif was a little poor parking attendant, actually, in the 60s before he got fell in love with one of the famous actors, Shimadima.
Oh, no parking attendant was ever poor in Los Angeles.
let's see. So
5,000 years
ago. That's a single star, not a group
single
of stars.
That is, you know, very famous. I'll give you a couple of hints.
The pole star.
No. It is actually the brightest star in the sky.
Oh, sir, serious?
The dog star.
Yeah. Yeah, but what is, well, it's what the African call it, but it has more scientific name. So I'll give another hint. It is named after the great goddess, ancient Egyptian goddess of Egypt. Have nothing to do with this Iraqi garbage that's going on. So it was named after the great, a great goddess in ancient Egypt. What is, I mean, they were only, you know, Osiris and his wife.
Nope.
The Iraqi.
Dog star's not good enough, huh?
No, the Iraqis, these guys fighting in Iraq using that name, using her name.
ISIS.
ISIS, of course.
There you go.
Of course.
Of course.
Thank you, guys. By the way, the answer for the question, the most stolen book is the Guinness Book of Records.
That is correct.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the Guinness. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Why thieves would want to steal that, I don't know. Thank you, Gretchen.
So we could get into the Guinness Book of Records for stealing it most times.
Maybe. And what?
We're halfway through the show.
Oh, thank you. Is that why we employ you?
I didn't realize it was.
All right,
employed.
Yeah, you're right. We should repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Laurie, you go.
So I'm looking for the song that the Beatles ended their Candlestick Park show with that they did not write. I'm looking for if you listed their songs alphabetically, the ones they wrote, which would be first, which would be their longest song by title. And Steve got that their shortest song was Help, which is one word and four letters. There's three other such songs that are one word and four letters. Those are my questions.
Okay.
How about And I Love Her for the A song?
No.
No.
All right.
That would
what do you
after,
have
left?
We're still looking for the film, the Woody Allen film in which Ain't She Sweet was played twice. And we are looking for the 1980 film in which these two actors sang Bye Bye Blackbird together.
I thought you wanted the name of the actress who did that.
Yes.
He does.
Oh, yes. I'll take them both.
All right. And Barbie, the Barbie doll, full name is Barbie Millicent Roberts. So what state is she supposedly from in the U.S.? Ray Milland and Mary Stuart Masterson both played characters who were straight in the movie version, but gay in the original novel in which they were based. So tell me what those roles or novels are. And that's it. So Right, Laurie, I think it's your turn.
Okay. Well, I like the theme of combining music and the movie, so this one does that.
Not the Beatles, though.
So we're off the Beatles. This is, it's not complicated. We'll see. The American Film Institute had their show where they picked the best 100 songs ever in the movies. Out of the first 21 of them, 7 of them became number one songs on the Billboard 100. So they hit the popular thing, which meant they were after, 1955. Mm-hmm. So the top 21 songs ever in the movies, according to the American Film Institute, which, and everybody knows these songs, like Over the Rainbow and As Time Goes By and Singing in the Rain, those are all in that list. Yeah. But they were never number one songs on Billboard. I'm looking for the ones that are.
So they have to be after 1955.
Yeah. The first one is 1957. Just so you know, and it ranges up to 1997. That's the list. There's 7 of them.
Wow. So these weren't necessarily theme songs, but they were in the movies.
Yes. And most of them, they're a combination of theme songs and in the movie because they're, one of them was
like, for instance, is there something from Saturday Night Fever there?
Yes, there's something from Saturday Night
Fever. Staying
Alive? Yep. That's one. Okay.
It's 97, My Heart Will Go On.
Yes.
Oh, very good.
Very good for Anna.
Terrible
very
song.
Very nice.
Yes.
Yeah, from Titanic. So we have the most recent, too.
This has nothing to do with quality.
That would be up for our audience to decide.
Okay, fine.
Yes. Staying Alive, I would say, is a great pop song.
You would say that.
Anna, how about You Got Anna, a Friend in Me from Toy Story?
No, it didn't hit number one. You know what? I don't think it was on their list. So I'm looking only at the top 21 songs because otherwise my list went on and on and on like that song.
So it's a better song than My Heart Will Go On.
So how many are on the list here?
Seven. So I'm looking for five more songs that hit number one on the billboards and in the top 21 of AFI's all-time songs.
Okay.
And people can sing them when they call in if they want.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7 p.m. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey, Mark in the Tenderloin.
Hi, Mark.
Hi. I got an answer. Is number two song, is that Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yes. Michelle Pfeiffer sang that in...
The Baker Boys.
In the Fabulous Baker Boys, yes.
Okay.
Well done.
And Barbie, is she from California?
She's not from California. I guess she is kind of a beach girl type, but no.
Okay. And the last question that you just asked, I'm going to guess either the song Fame or Flashdance.
No, neither one. Both great guesses, but they aren't either number one or in the top 100 of AFI. I think they were not number ones, but they're great guesses.
Oh, okay. And one other guess is the longest Beatles song, Everybody's Got Something to Hide, Except for Me and My Monkey.
They do, and it is. Very nice.
Very well done.
11 words, 51 letters. Really good. Thank you.
Okay. And my question is geographical. Madagascar has 3 island nations just east of it. Can you name the 3 island nations that are...
The Maldives? The Maldives? No. Yes? Hello?
No, I don't think Maldives is below India.
Okay, well, all right. So is Madagascar, so you have... There are 3 island nations that are very close to Madagascar. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Okay. So Zanzibar, you're not counting?
No.
And
Ceylon?
What is it?
Ceylon?
Sri Lanka.
Sri Lanka. Yeah. Oh, right. No, so that wouldn't be it.
No.
Well, he's not going to take the Maldives. He's not going to take that.
Yeah. No.
And,
they're little tiny things.
Yeah, but they're little tiny.
But big enough to get in the UN.
Oh, the Comoros.
Comoros is one.
Right. That's as far as I can go.
I don't know.
Do you want me to give you the first letter?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, one of the other ones begins with M as in Mark, and the other one begins with S as in Sarah.
Oh, so Seychelles.
Seychelles,
yeah. Right.
Seychelles, yep.
So M, but it's not the Maldives. Mauritius.
You got it.
Very all right. Nice.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we still need who Michelle Baker sang that with?
Michelle Pfeiffer.
She sang it with... With the Bridges, but we're looking for the 2 actors who sang Bye Bye Blackbird. Different question.
Okay, what did Michelle Pfeiffer
sing? She sang Making Whoopee in the Fabulous Baker Boys.
Okay.
Steve, it's your turn.
All right. Well, since I was on an Amtrak train this week and had my iPhone stolen, I have some train-related movie questions about various crimes and intrigues that happen on trains. Okay. A blonde orders brook trout in this dining car and with this movie.
It's North by Northwest.
Correct.
Eva Marie Saint.
Yeah.
All right.
Very sexy scene. Mm.
Victim is stabbed exactly. These are very easy.
Not
victim
for the brook
is
trout.
Stabbed exactly 12 times. The victim is stabbed exactly
Julius
12
Caesar.
Times. No.
That wasn't on a train.
No. Oh, this is all on a train.
This all happened on a train.
Oh, okay.
Julius Caesar.
Oh, I got you. It's Murder on the Orient Express.
Correct.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Robert Shaw loses a poker game.
Oh, that's the sting.
Okay. Yeah. Robert Shaw loses a decoding machine.
Not Jaws. Oh.
Well, you mean From Russia with Love?
There you go.
Okay.
That's good.
You had to ask the question?
Yeah.
How many decoding machines did Robert Shaw?
I don't remember that part.
Well, he loses them all the time, just not on trains. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a big fight in the end over the decoding machine.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Lecter decoder.
Yeah. I fell asleep.
Okay. Michael Caine returns a pocket watch he stole.
On a train.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
You should know this one. We've seen it a zillion times, Anna.
I'm sure. I'm blanking, though.
He's not in Hugo.
God, he's only made up.
Yeah.
150 movies.
Yeah.
Should we leave that one out there?
All right.
So Michael,
Caine returns a pocket watch that he stole in this movie. One of the great ones.
All right.
More?
Oh, and we'll give you one more. A psychopath steals a cigarette lighter.
Oh, strangers on a train.
Okay.
Bruno Anthony.
Yes.
Yes.
It's turning
Bruno
up a lot tonight.
Yeah. Bruno told you this?
Yeah.
And let's go to a call.
Hi.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Well, this is your itinerant poet. I finally thought of Michelle Pfeiffer and the dude. That was a marvelous scene.
Oh,
yes.
And I somehow thought of the Sun Also Rises.
For what?
I don't know why, a Hemingway book, but I thought somebody might want to.
Oh, for originally, what was originally a gay character, you mean?
Well, I'm not sure. By the time you've held on for this long, your mind is a wash.
It's Minds Over Matter.
But I do have a share to do.
All right.
November 1963, I have spent 11 days on a freighter in the hectic Atlantic. The storm was incredible. Everything was lashed down. We get off in Liverpool. The first thing my traveling companion and I see is a headline with a picture, and the headline says, Ringo Hospitalized. And we looked at that picture and said, who are these guys?
Yeah.
Their hair was incredible, you know.
Yeah.
This is November 63. That was the big event.
What about Kennedy? Nothing about Kennedy then.
But she'd been on a freighter for a long time.
Okay, I'll take it.
Well, that is what the first thing I saw when I got to land. Liverpool and the Ringo's Hospital.
All right. Maybe this was November 21st.
Good bet.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
And the other thing, one more thing.
All right, one more thing.
Allow the bell to come delayed or do two bells at once, because often you don't hear the answer because the bell has rung.
Okay.
Ciao.
All right.
Or a technical dip. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. All right. Quick question. The oldest gay bar in the United States is in the Bay Area.
Is it in Oakland? The white. Am I close? Stop me. On Telegraph Avenue, the white.
White Horse. Very good.
Yeah, okay. And that's really, because that's what they claim.
That's the oldest continuously operated gay bar in the
What
United
year?
States. Oh, boy. It's in the 30s. It's
before or after Postum?
That's all they serve
after the
Postum.
After the beginning of Postum.
The big drink there was vodka and Postum.
There you go.
Okay. What can I give you? All right. This product was first manufactured for use as bandages in World War I. I'm sorry, not World War II.
Postum?
No.
Super
you can
glue?
Try that.
What's super that? Glue? Sorry, super glue?
No. That's an interesting guess. This product was first manufactured for use as bandages in World War One. Not World War Two.
Was it a liquid product?
It's not a liquid product. Was bandages.
Was it nylon?
Oh, like a liquid bandage.
Yeah.
I mean. Oh, I see what you mean.
Was it nylon?
No, not nylon. Mm-mm. This product was first manufactured for use as bandages in World War One.
And it obviously ended up doing something else.
Yes.
That we would not associate
else.
With
not
bandage.
Not totally on. Unrelated. Not totally unrelated.
And I'll ask.
No. Mm-mm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
You there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
I don't remember even how you framed the question, but is it Abbey Road for the Beatles, the beginning of the alphabet?
Well,
oh,
no, because
that's not
Abbey's
song,
not a, Abbey Road's not the name of a song.
Right.
That'd be their first
record.
Album. That was, that was the name of the entire album, but I don't think there's a song named Abbey Road.
Oh, well, there you go.
But otherwise, it's a great guess. Yeah, it's very close to that, and it would be first, but it's not.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
This Michael Caine movie with the key.
The Pocket Watch.
Pocket Watch. It's not that movie he made with Sean Connery that was based on a Kipling story?
It is.
Oh, right.
The Man Who Would Be King.
The Man Who Would Be King. Good job.
Nice. Okay. So, thanks for the team. Radio Days for the Woody Allen movie?
Not Radio Days.
What about the songs?
Mm-hmm.
The big songs that are...
The movie songs.
Yeah.
Top 20?
Yes.
Is the Pink Panther on there?
No.
Moon River?
Moon River's not on there.
And Shadow of Your Smile?
None of them. All great guesses, but they didn't do both things in the top 21 movies and in the top number one song.
Okay, and how about Ray Milland in The Lost Weekend?
You're right.
Oh.
Don Burnham, yes.
No,
well done.
That I didn't know.
That's right. In those days, if you were gay, you had become an alcoholic.
That was required.
Right? Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Tom.
How about Bullets Over Broadway for Ain't She Sweet?
No, not but you've named every Woody Allen movie except this one.
And it's not necessarily a period piece, though, is it? Because he would have...
You're looking for hints, Dana Rodriguez?
Yeah.
You're looking for hints?
10 to 8?
The man who wouldn't tell me after World War II whether it was in the 50s or not? You're looking for hints from me?
Well, wasn't the 50s after World War II?
Yes.
All right,
The man who wouldn't be king.
Right, and the man who would be king, they returned the watch because they discovered he was a Mason.
Absolutely.
All right.
But you don't get points for that because that wasn't the question.
Kipling.
And there are no points.
You're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday.
Could have won the refrigerator-freezer combination.
If you'd like to join us, the number is 415-841-4134 with a question or answer, 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
This is Glenn in San Francisco.
Hi, Glenn.
Hi. So I think Barbie's home state was America's Dairyland. Is that right?
Yeah, you're right. America's Dairyland.
Is that true?
Yeah, she's from Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good job on
her.
Yeah.
And do you know why? Is there a reason she's from Wisconsin? I don't want to.
I can't. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, please don't.
There you go. Very good. Good, good.
How did you know that?
You know, when I was a kid, my girl playmate had whatever, right?
Barbie, right. Right. And she went to Willows High School. I just thought I'd throw that in because it was Willows High School.
In Wisconsin, huh?
Yeah.
What city?
That I didn't know.
Willows.
I don't know.
Oh, that was the name of it.
Yeah, that was a made-up place. Thank you very much.
Well, Wisconsin is not
made-up. Wait.
Oh, okay, go
ahead.
Beatles
song, four-letter title?
Yes.
Girl.
That's one of them.
Oh,
very nice. Do you have another? There's two more.
Wait a minute. Well, before we go there, the alphabetical order of the Beatles songs?
Yes.
So Act Naturally was a remake.
That's good.
Yeah, they didn't write Act Naturally, though. I'm only looking for songs they wrote.
All My Loving.
It's before All My Loving.
Rain?
Really?
Rain is one of the four-letter word songs. Very good.
I'll take it. Yeah. Take it the bell.
Yeah. And this would be before Act Naturally, by the way, the one on here.
Across the Universe?
That's it.
Whoa.
Very nice. Yeah.
Okay. Nicely done.
Good job, Glenn.
All right. We're looking for one more four-letter word. Very good.
We got Help already, of course.
Right.
We have Help and Girl and Wait.
Rain.
Oh, I just said the other one.
Wait.
And, of course, Wait.
All right.
From Rubber Soul. You know,
if you can get the Woody Allen picture that has Ain't She Sweet in it, you would get the washer-dryer combination.
I would. Mm. Annie Hall.
No.
Okay.
including soap?
Right.
Yeah, including soap, yeah. Including the soap,
that's a good incentive. All right.
Well, it's hard to pass it up, but I don't know.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Well, it's hard to pass it up. But okay, would that be me?
It would be you. So you have to turn your radio down a little bit, please.
It's off.
Okay.
Okay, duct tape, maybe, for the bandages?
Oh, not duct tape, no.
Ooh. Oh. How about that silly song, Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head?
No, that's not one of them.
No, okay. And what kind of shoes do you think about with DeBose Hayward?
Oh,
DeBose Hayward.
What kind of shoes?
Is this a pun joke?
No, it isn't a pun.
All right.
He wrote a book with shoes in them.
Oh.
DeBose Hayward wrote with shoes in the title?
Blue suede shoes. I don't know.
The Country Bunny and the Little Gold Shoes.
Oh.
Whoa.
Don't know.
He wrote a children's book. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
All right. Have a good night.
All right. Thank you.
You assumed it was a children's book.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well, with that title.
I think it is. Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Ever Matter.
Hello.
Hi, you're on.
Okay, this is Kurt in San Francisco.
Hi, Kurt.
I have a question about California history. Right. This might be easy. It was news to me. Perhaps Dana should be recused.
Every time they said it might be easy, it's really never.
Well, I like it when they say Dana will be recused. That's very good.
Okay, in terms of disasters in California history, of course, the one that resulted in the greatest loss of life was the San Francisco earthquake and fire in 1906. My question is, what was the second disaster that resulted in the second greatest loss of life in California history? What, where, and when?
In California history?
Not the Northridge earthquake.
Can you tell us how many people actually died from it?
It's not known. It's estimated a low of 600 and a high of over 1,000. They're still finding bodies.
Really?
Really?
Well, as recently as the 1990s.
Oh, wow.
Which part? Do you want to give us a hint on the part of the state, since I'm looking at the clock?
Yeah, it took place in Southern California. And
was it a maritime accident?
No, since we're running low on time, it was referenced in the movie Chinatown.
Oh, it was, I'm trying to think, that was about the what now? There was nothing.
The dam flooding? Yes, the dam break?
Yes, that was it.
Okay.
There was a dam called the St. Francis Dam.
Yeah.
It failed on March of 1928. Catastrophic flooding, bodies washed 50 miles out to sea.
Wow,
and, interesting. They don't know how many because many more migrant workers, and they just don't know.
All right.
Good thank cheerful
good question.
Question.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
Bye. All right, one more call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, Sparky. May I clean up the bench? The Beatles song that was last played at Candlestick Park was Long Tall Sally.
It was. Very good.
Good.
Way to go, Sparky.
And the what was once for bandages is Kotex.
Kotex.
Oh.
That's right.
How about that?
And wait. You already gave it away.
I did. I slipped
it. All right.
Sorry.
Yeah, you slipped that in.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're done.
All right.
How about the Woody Allen movie? Got that?
Nah.
All right.
Okay. Thank you. Time to clean up.
Okay, the number one songs that were in the top 21 songs of the American Film Institute. We already got Staying Alive and My Heart Will Go On. Evergreen from A Star Is Born. The Way We Were. Mrs. Robinson. I thought that was the most obvious. Mm. People from Funny Girl. And, of course, the great Jailhouse Rock.
Wow.
Mm. That's it. And we got Steve, all the Beatles.
Yes. And the Woody Allen movie that featured Ain't She Sweet was Midnight in Paris.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. Well,
very
that makes
nice.
Sense.
Yep.
And the last character who was gay in the novel but not in the movie version, Mary Stuart Masterson in Imogene Threadgood in Fried Green Tomatoes. So if we didn't get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember the Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight is from Diablo Valley College, Lori Fisher, Steve Rubenstein from The Chronicle and Points West, his daughter, Anna Rubenstein, and I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to Eric Wayne and Steve Wilcott for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call in. Have a great week, everybody, and have a great Pride Day. And please join us next Sunday at 7. Bye-bye.